For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey, so I'm jealous, dude. You just got back from driving the new Forerunner, both on-road and off-road, so I want to hear all about it.
Exactly. Forerunner is a huge vehicle, very important to the industry, to Toyota, to us, because it's been around for six generations now and 41 years. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and it hasn't changed in like forever. Forever.
Yeah, so Case and I actually went to this program. It was in San Diego, and we were on the way there. And Case actually brought something up, which kind of hit me in my face. He said when the fifth generation Forerunner came out, he was in middle school. That's how long ago the Forerunner has been around.
The first generation.
The fifth generation.
Oh, the fifth generation.
Yeah, 2009.
Not the one with the top that came off.
No, 2009. Case is a young man. Yes, he's a very handsome young man. Well, so
I don't know. I'm not going to go there.
No, last time the generation changed for the Forerunner, it was about 15 years ago.
Wow. Wow. Yes. Wow. And that, let's talk about the old one. It was getting long in the tooth, Andre.
4-liter V6.
Not just like the length, but just technology, fuel economy, ride and handling. What it had going for it was that it was like an old shoe and that it was comfortable, right? I remember getting into one. This is like 10 years ago after driving a whole bunch of other Toyotas, thinking to myself, this is like an old friend. It's easy. Yeah. I love the, what was it, a five-speed?
The last vehicle was a five-speed automatic.
Yeah, five-speed transmission.
Yeah.
I love the throttle response. It just all worked. And I think that's why it was such a long-lived vehicle, because everything about it was easy, right? Big old knobs, easy to understand controls, right? It was the right size, so you know it kind of fit into a lot of different lifestyles. You could buy it as something for your family, which I did when you know my son was born. It could be a family hauler, or you could buy it as an empty nester, or if you're now wealthy enough, we'll talk about this later, you could buy it as you know your first new purchase out of college. It just has this giant expanse of capability. And then obviously, you know, it competed or competes against the Wrangler and the Bronco, even though they're both convertibles. We know that. But in general, a lot of people cross shop the Forerunner
because
with those
they're the same price.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're priced the same. And we're showing a little bit of video. If you're watching us on TFL Talk, thank you. If you're listening to us, also thank you. But we're showing, for example, our marketing director, Grant, had a fifth generation Forerunner.
I think he still has it, doesn't he?
Oh, he was talking about selling it, wasn't he?
He hasn't sold it yet.
Yeah. And it's he bought it. He doesn't want to sell it. But the value of the fifth gens is still growing. It's a really great resale value. We're showing it. Alex is taking it off-road right now. So we have some B-roll footage rolling. And like our producer, Zach, is in love with Forerunners, right? I think a lot of people have a story about a Forerunner. They either owned it, or their friend has owned it. So that's the type of vehicle.
Dare I say it was the place where they got their first kiss or further?
Let's not talk about that.
Well, you brought up Case. Anyway, this also shows another reason why this thing was so popular. Grant went and had it lifted, so there was a lot of aftermarket support for Forerunners, right?
Very easy to modify.
Very well, it was Well, sort of easy because the problem,
because there's available companies and parts.
Yeah, the problem with modifying this generation was that the front got very complicated, and it was very hard to like find a place to cut it if you wanted to like stick on an aftermarket bumper. And
our friend James has one too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got one as well. And it's just like one of those, you know, it's like an old shoe. Maybe a better analogy would be like a friendly old dog, right? That you just know and is always there, always loves you, is always there for whatever you need.
It will start, it will run, it will drive wherever you want it to go.
Now, basically, there were some downsides to it.
Yeah. Well, fuel efficiency was one big one.
Yeah, it was thirsty.
Yes.
I want to say like 16-ish.
On a good day.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, Grant was telling me that before his mods, because he lifted it and made it heavier.
Yeah.
But before his mods, he was a little bit above 20, which was really, really incredible. He has an SR5, which is kind of a base version. But after he lifted it and made it a little bit heavier, it was not good. It was like 16, right?
So I've told the story before, but I think it's fitting to tell it here. That one that we're looking at right there, that was my wife's 4Runner. So we had a Volvo. No, we didn't have a Volvo. What did we have? We went to a Volvo after the 4Runner, a wagon, a V Cross Country.
V70 or something?
No, that was the one I got. I got the V70R. My wife had the Cross Country. Anyway, we had this generation of 4Runner. And we bought it when Tommy was born, and I wanted something. My mom had a place in the mountains, so I wanted something that in a snowstorm was going to get us there. I wanted something that was rough and rugged, right?
Basically a third generation, yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted something that was safe. And something that was reliable. I think these are the reasons why people bought these.
Yeah.
And so we bought it, and then my wife was driving over Swan Mountain Road, which is a road that kind of goes between Keystone and Breckenridge. It's kind of a shortcut. It's a little mountain pass. The problem with this 4Runner, and it's also continued to the new one, is you have to put it. This was basically a truck underneath, right? So you basically have to shift it into 4High.
It's a part-time system that you have to shift yourself.
Which she did not know. And that's nothing on her. I think a lot of people don't know that.
Well, sometimes you get surprised by like a snowy condition or an icy condition, right? You're driving on a dry highway and all of a sudden you hit some ice or snow.
I'll tell you what I went. So I had a Jaguar X-Type before this.
No way.
Yeah, I went from a Jaguar X-Type 2.5 manual, which was tiny.
Oh, wow.
So it would not fit our family, right?
Right.
Barely. I mean, I guess in Europe, that was based on a Mondeo. So in Europe, that'd be a magnificently big car. But here in America, not so big. Anyway, so I wanted something, you know, that you could throw all the kids' stuff in the back, which you could. So she's gone up over Swan Mountain Pass. It's icy, and she does not have it in four-wheel drive. And she's got Tommy, who is a little baby, at the back in the back seat, and her sister in the front seat. And she does like a 360. Next day we bought
very,
a Volvo.
Very scary.
Next day we bought a Volvo. There was like no
no transition.
There was no transition. There was no honey. Maybe you should put it into, you know, 4High. It was like, I don't want to be anywhere near this car. I've got our son in this car, and I just almost went flying off a mountainside. So this thing's gone. And so we went to, you know, a Volvo, which of course has a reputation for being extremely safe.
And also all-wheel drive.
And also all-wheel drive, yeah, for the cross-country. And it had all the room. Plus, it's easier to get things in and out of because it's not as tall. But yeah, the truck we had for like 3 years, I think. But that was it. That was, you know, the combination of my son and a slippery mountain pass. It was over.
Yeah, and
I think that's still a problem with the current one.
Yeah, so let's just talk about the 6th gen, the new one.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, by the way, we have really good friends at 4Runner6G.com.
Yes.
It's a forum which focuses on the new generation of the 4Runner. Like-minded people can, you know, discuss their experiences. Now a lot of people are buying them. Look at this. They started to modify them already.
Dude, somebody put 35s on one already. You know, so yeah, I love 4Runner6G. Those guys are great.
Yeah.
If you guys are getting into like deep lore and you need to know anything and everything about you know, modifying your new 4Runner. There it is on 35s. Like somebody already went 35s.
And you know why this is happening so fast?
Yeah.
It's because it's based in the Tacoma still.
Yeah.
So it's still a truck-based SUV. It has a frame. The new Tacoma came out, we had one in 2024. It's easy. I mean, the parts are already available. You know, some of the suspension components, shocks, some of the accessories. The wheelbase is a lot shorter, of course, in the 4Runner compared to a Tacoma.
I am so incredibly stressed, Andre, because thanks to you guys, we're actually buying a new 4Runner. I think it's important. I think we need to do a long-term review on it. And we got a white one. There weren't a lot of options. We didn't get the hybrid because those don't come in until next month. I would have loved to have, you know, the TRD Pro.
Or a red one or a different color.
Or a, what's the other one?
Are you sure about the Trail Hunter? They're expensive. We'll talk about this
in a second. I would have loved to have that, but those guys are approaching 70K.
Yeah, they are approaching 70K.
So we end up buying a TRD Pro Premium because those were the ones that are coming
TRD
in first.
TRD Off-Road.
Yeah. TRD Off-Road with the premium package, which means we get leather. But it's been sitting at the port in LA now for 2 weeks.
And we're on pins and needles, basically.
Well, here's the deal. I want to go buy it, but I can't go buy it because we're going to trade the Defender in on it. California has this crazy rule that if you buy a car and drive it in California, you have to pay California tax. And that's like 9% or it's 8.5% or something, right? We're in rural Larimer County.
Colorado.
Yeah, and we can, you know, pay a lot less tax. So we have to trailer basically the Defender there, which we're trading, the Defender 90, and then hopefully trailer the 4Runner back so it won't touch California soil. It'll be titled here. Yeah. Basically, we're shipping it. It's like shipping to not pay California tax. And that's going to take a long time because I got to drive to LA, buy the truck, trade in the truck, drive back. And I'm just dying to get my hands on it because I want to stop in Moab to actually be one of the first to do I'm not going to say real off-road review because you did take it into an off-road course. But
we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk. I mean, if you took it into one that Toyota built, they're not going to build a course
exactly
that the truck can't do. So I'm just dying to get it. But I'm taking up too much of your time because you're the one who drove it. So you start. You tell me all about this bad boy.
Well, first of all,
let's start with the powertrain. How about that?
Yeah. First of all, so very similar powertrain, the same identical powertrain as the Tacoma. So there's a non-hybrid and a hybrid. The non-hybrid is a 2.4-liter turbo, so 278 horsepower and 317 pound-feet of torque.
Same as a Land Cruiser.
Same engine that's in the Land Cruiser. And when you get it as a hybrid, like in the Land Cruiser, the power goes up. And you're watching, we have some video of the hybrid TRD. I'm sorry, this is the Trail Hunter with a hybrid. So 326 horsepower. And 465 pound-feet of torque.
You made me so happy, Andre, because that's white, which is ours. I think ours is, there's two whites. There's like a pearlescent white, and then there's this Arctic white.
Ice cap, I think it's called.
Ice cap. And so that's exactly the color we're getting. And I was worried that it would be kind of boring, but at least
it's shiny.
Yeah, and the Trail Hunter version looks really good.
It's shiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll have a little bit of a black trim because the TRD Off-Road also has a little bit of fender flare. Not quite as wide because the TRD Pro and the Trail Hunter are wider by about 3 inches. So they have an additional fender flare. But we'll have a little bit of black trim and also an interesting wheel design as well.
Yeah, we won't get that bronze wheel, which is really good looking.
Which is a Trail Hunter special.
Yeah, that's
a special.
Well, let's just go there. How much does a Trail Hunter cost and how much is a TRD Pro?
They're all basically identical price. They started about right under $67,000 before destination charges. So here we have a little bit of a configurator. So if you scroll a little bit further, we'll be able to see the Trail Hunter and the TRD Pro. They start at $66,900 before destination charges.
Before dealer markup.
Well, let's not talk about markups quite yet.
Well, the old TRD had dealer markup.
Yeah.
TRD Pro, I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're pushing 70K. So about like what 68 and a half with destination, so you basically it's getting quite expensive for a 4Runner.
So let's be real, in the real world, I mean, the old TRD Pros were a $10,000 premium over sticker, so we're looking at potentially
touching almost
$80,000 truck, and even without touching $80,000, $70,000 just seems you know, I say every new car feels like it's $10,000 too expensive. That feels like it's $20,000 too expensive. I get it. You get a wider body. You get a snorkel. You get an internal air compressor, if I remember right. You get some fancier colors and some fancy interior trims. You get some cool wheels. But dude, for $10,000, you can create your own TRD Pro pretty easily. Oh, and you get better shocks. Can't forget that, right? You get Bilsteins instead of Fox, right? Or is it the other way?
It's the other way. So okay. The Tier D Off-Road.
Of course, it's the other way.
Well, the Tier D Off-Road that we're buying has Bilsteins.
Okay.
Now, the Tier D Pro has Foxes with the valve that you have to lean down and adjust, which is not ideal for a lot of situations. And then the Trail Hunter has Old Man Emu.
Emu.
No, Australians pronounce it differently, emu. I think. Emu.
You think they say emu?
I think that's how they say it. Are you sure?
I don't know. I don't think I don't know.
Okay.
Is there, so, hold on. Is
can
there a
you
way?
Do an Australian accent, Old Man Emu?
how do you do that? How do I figure that out? Old.
Right there. Emu.
Oh, you're
so
right.
So maybe I am wrong.
Yeah, emu. Yeah, it's Old Man Emu.
Let us know. Let us know in the comments. If you're from Australia, how would you say emu or emu?
I would get Mary, who does a really good Australian accent, and she could come in here and she could say it.
It's difficult.
But she's difficult. On a shoot with Tommy, so.
She's not here.
G'day, mate. That's about all I can do in Aussie. Yeah, put another shrimp on the barbie. Yeah, does that sound okay? Cole, is that okay or is that bad?
It's okay.
I think he's giving me the, it's horrible.
He's giving us a stink eye. Okay.
All right. That was from Crocodile Dundee.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All right. Yes. All right. So Old Man Emu upgraded
on the Trail Hunter.
Yeah.
And also ARB components. So ARB, I can say that. ARB. And those are also kind of...
I think they say ARB. Arb. Kidding.
On the RB.
Arb.
Put it on the RB. Look at this. So the towing capacity on all 4Runners I thought was 6,000 pounds. But look at this. It says it's about 5,800 pounds on the hybrids like the Tier D Pro and the Trail Hunter.
And so this is where we run into our first little issue.
Yeah.
And that is payload.
It's not a little issue. I think it's a big issue.
I was trying to be gentle, Andre. It's a small payload, which makes it a big issue.
Yeah. So the number is most of the 4Runners we drove, Case and I drove, were at 890 pounds. 890.
How much does our Maverick have? How much does our little teeny tiny?
Our Maverick has 1,350 pounds.
Yeah. So think about that, guys.
So a little compact pickup. Maverick has what, 400 pounds more?
Yes.
450 more.
Yeah. Which is insane.
Yes.
And let's just take a huge step back. So basically, that's how much people, stuff, or when you're towing, how much tongue weight you can have. You can't have 800 pounds of tongue weight, but you can have 10% of that.
Yeah.
So it just means that it really limits it for, like, I know my friend Scott over at Overland Journal would be like pulling his hair out, because if you're going and using this thing as an overlander and you're going to put in batteries and you're going to put in rooftop tents and you're going to put in,
or maybe a little heater,
onboard showers,
a fridge.
And, your dog, you're going to run out of payload right fast, Andre, right fast.
Yeah. And, you know, Toyota did something interesting with the Tacoma Trail Hunter. So they increased its gross vehicle weight rating and gave it a little bit more payload, about 1,200 pounds. And for a pickup truck, that makes sense. I was hoping they could do something similar on the 4Runner side, and it doesn't look like they did. It's still about 890 pounds, which is about 900 pounds.
Well, as first generation, you know you're missing all that metal and glass above the bed on Tacoma, which is, you know, less weight, so you've got more payload. Here, you know, you've got Are they heavier than the Tacoma, I should ask? I bet you they're heavier. They got to be heavy.
I think it's a little heavier, yeah. Kind of comparable trim for trim. I don't know exactly. I don't remember exact numbers, but it's a little bit heavier.
Right, and while we're talking about big issues, let's address the other one, and that is recently Jason Kanizma and...
Kanizma.
I always get his name wrong. Sorry, dude. And then his last name. And then Doug, of course, DeMero, all took a mighty dump, a mighty steaming dump on the Land Cruiser. And one of the... Because that's what it was. Right, that's really what it was.
That's some words.
How say. They got it wrong? I mean, that's pretty dumpy. I'm not going to comment on that. That is, of course, their opinion. And the one of the things that they said was that the hybrid version runs out of steam at least Jason said at about 60 miles an hour or 65 miles an hour. So if you're going down the highway and you're doing like you're in Moab, you're 65 and you need to pass, you're going to struggle to pass. Now I've driven. I've driven the Tacoma, not the Land, and the Land Cruiser, yeah. Actually.
Actually, we have one. We have a loaner right now.
And I didn't find that to be the case.
Well, okay, so there's some negatives about the powertrains.
Right.
Well, we owned the Tacoma for, at least half a year.
Yeah.
The non-hybrid Tacoma, the turbocharged 2.4 liter. It's a little bit buzzy, right? It's not very pleasing.
Well, the word is coarse.
Coarse.
It's the engine's a little coarse.
Yeah, so it's not a very pleasing exhaust note.
Dare I say agricultural.
Yes.
Dare I say that. Dare.
And when you're paying $50,000, $60,000, $65,000, or $70,000 for a vehicle, you know, it depends on what you want. But you know, I would question that.
But here's the thing. A kind of a coarse and maybe a utilitarian engine note in a Tacoma, it's kind of fine as a truck. Right? I'm not expecting it to be, you know, a Lamborghini.
A Maserati.
Yeah, Lamborghini 12-cylinder, right? I am expecting it to be a work truck, which it was. But getting back to my point, in the Land Cruiser or in the Tacoma, I never felt, either towing or not towing, that like it ran out of power. Now, the interesting thing is they were talking about, at least I think Jason was, the hybrid version.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for our point of view, we're very practical here at TFL, so are you, Andre. So we never kind of felt the need to buy the hybrid because you don't get a lot more in terms of fuel economy.
Right. Real world, because we do a lot of real world testing. We do MPG loops. We do towing loops. I mean, you and I took the Land Cruiser hybrid to the iGauntlet. We did that. We found out that electrical system, the hybrid system, adds weight to the vehicle. So that's another kind of negative in some ways. It adds some power. So the power actually is a little bit more linear maybe as you accelerate. But... it's just, you know, it's not any more efficient.
And this is a thing I've been thinking about, Toyota. Maybe this is something you should think of. So every time somebody who is in the business, right, talks about the Tundra or the Tacoma, or in even this case, maybe the 4Runner or the Land Cruiser, what they say is that the hybrid isn't meant to give you much better fuel economy. It's meant to give you more power. So if you need more power for towing, for hauling, for doing like truck stuff, right, that's what it is. But that is a very much a mixed message that Toyota is sending, because you show up to Toyota dealership and you're like, hey, I want that Prius. It's a hybrid. And they'll be like, yeah, 50 mpg. And then you're like, how about that Camry? Oh, yeah.
50 mpg.
Yeah, 50 mpg.
How about that Sienna?
Yeah.
35 mpg.
I mean really these good. Hybrids are really knocking out of the ballpark. Yeah. And then you go, how about that 4Runner? Oh, 23.
Ooh,
how about the non-hybrid 21, right? It's a mixed message. Like,
yeah, it is
like
a mixed message.
Right, everything about Toyota's hybrid synergy drive is about saving fuel and paying less at the pump. And then all of a sudden they come out with this like group of vehicles where it's the complete opposite. It's like, well, this isn't about fuel economy. It's about, you know, having more power. And so maybe their criticism is right, because I have not driven we have it now at the office. So I've not driven the Land Cruiser with the hybrid. Do we drive it on the highway? I don't think I drove it on the highway.
No, I think I was pulling the trailer.
Yeah, I think
so. You weren't behind the wheel.
Yeah, but I just don't see the rationale for spending more money. And in effect, you're getting a little bit less, right? You're losing about 3 inches underneath
of cargo space
underneath the back, because that's where the battery is. And then you, of course, gaining a lot more complexity. And then you've got, you know, the question of longevity. So more complexity means potentially less longevity, potentially. And so we've always gone for the non-hybrid version of these. Even though if I was getting a Camry, of course it would be the hybrid. Well, you got to get a hybrid now.
Well, Toyota is kind of switching.
To all hybrid.
For example, every Sequoia is a hybrid.
Yeah.
Every Sienna is a hybrid. Every Camry now is becoming a hybrid. So they're moving in that direction.
So how hard would it be from an engineering perspective for Toyota to give like 5 MPG difference between the hybrid, let's say, 4Runner
Tacoma or 4Runner
and the non? Instead of making it more power and torque using the battery to do that, how about use the battery to actually increase fuel economy? Would that be hard for them? Is that an engineering thing? Let us know. I don't know.
So here's the thing about driving specifically the 4Runner. So this program, the event that they held was in San Diego. So we started at sea level. Then we went up into the mountains. By the way, it was a super windy day. You can kind of see, if you're watching some of this B-roll, the trees are bending down. Very, very windy. And I felt like, first of all, I had enough power. I felt that. But, I put it in eco mode, and I tried to feather the throttle so I can be in electric mode. And you can almost never be in electric mode. The engine kicks on right away. So, you know, like in the F-150 hybrid, for example, that's my comparison because I owned one. You could actually feather the throttle and it'll kind of let you know. And you have a little bit of leeway. You can kind of coast in electricity alone, save a little bit of fuel. These Toyota systems, at least in their trucks, like to kick on the engine right away. It just comes on. And you don't get an impression of efficiency. And actually, yeah, it's not meant for efficiency. It doesn't look like that's what it's for.
So anyway, it's something that certainly is a discussion point. I don't necessarily, a lot of people don't like the fact that we've gone from the six-cylinder to a very small turbocharged. I don't mind turbos. I think, I grew up with turbos, and people sometimes think that the current turbos are like the ones that I grew up with, maybe you grew up with, where there was just a tremendous amount of turbo lag, where,
and they were unreliable.
Like the Saab 900 turbo, right? We had one in the office here. We bought one. There was like literally 2 seconds before it actually kicked in, right? You'd floor it and be like 1-1000, 2-1000, and then it would downshift, and then, oh, there's the power. But the modern turbos, they're almost undetectable, except for that snorkel.
Yeah, the Trail Hunter has a snorkel.
You could hear the
raised air intake.
Yeah, you could hear the wastegate. So it sounds like a walrus snoring.
It does. But with the windows up, so let's say all the windows are fully up and you're inside the cabin, it's muted. You can almost not hear it. When the window's down, and sometimes you like to have the windows down, if you're going for an easy drive, it's really noticeable. You can notice that turbocharger. I mean, we giggle. Like Casey and I were giggling, when we heard this noise, because we're kind of like, that type of mechanical feedback. But it might get old.
Yeah,
if you own it,
it kind of sounds like those old time movies where somebody snores, right? Except much deeper.
Yes,
and it's funny. It could get old. You're right. It could get old.
It could get old.
All right. So let's talk about the interior. Is it different than a Tacoma?
So the dash looks very, very similar, almost identical to the Tacoma. It's not a bad thing. I think the Tacoma interior is pretty kind of, masculine, usable, utilitarian. If you're getting like the premium, like we are getting tier the off-road premium, you have a giant screen, which is a 14-inch display in the center. You have a digital cluster in the middle. Here, Cole found one image of the display. So humongous display, actually pretty good camera system, so especially for off-roading.
Is that the volume knob I'm looking at? Look how big and chunky that is.
Yeah, the center and the volume knob is humongous right there. You can see it at the bottom of the screen.
Maybe they took our criticism because the one in the Land Cruiser is this little tiny thing.
And the Tacoma, remember?
Yeah, it's also a little tiny.
The base Tacoma was a very tiny knob.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're listening to it. Huh?
So yeah, so the interior is good, and also the wheelbase is now on the 4Runner compared to the older generation, is a little bit stretched, about 2 inches. And now it's in their golden ratio. The golden ratio is this Toyota speak for and Lexus speak for. It has to be short enough to be maneuverable and, have a good breakover angle, which is about 112 inches, and also comfortable on the street. So according to Toyota, they found this wheelbase, but it's not super long. So the rear seats, you don't have a lot of space in the rear seats. It's very similar to the Land Cruiser, actually.
Oh.
On the space.
In Japan, you can get a Land Cruiser with a third row.
And you can get a 4Runner with a third row.
Yeah, not here.
here as well. So the SR5, the base SR5.
You can get a four-runner with a third row in America.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
sweet. And actually, Cole, if you go to TFL car channel, we have, I actually got into the third row of the 4Runner. This was an SR5. You can also get a limited, this is a luxury version of the 4Runner. You can get a limited 4Runner third row as well.
So you did a video where you compared cheap versus expensive.
Exactly.
So if you guys want to see that, head on over to alltfl.com. And then tell me about the third row. How much room was there for you? You're big. You're 6'3". So if you can fit, anybody can fit.
I couldn't really fit, dude. Yeah. So first of all, it was the headroom issue.
Yeah.
So getting in there, because once again, there is a limited amount of just headroom for me. I'm almost 6'3". You can see a little bit of B-roll if you're watching us here on TFL Talk. I had to put my head to the side. Mm. So my head was to the side. Legroom was also limited. So it's really for kids. See, my head is going sideways. yes. Wow, that's a freeze frame. Yeah. I did not want to see.
Yeah.
So third row that is really...
That expression on your face looks like you dropped your wallet into the toilet. That was the expression on your face.
It was not very comfy, Roman, for a big dude.
Yeah.
For a big dude, it's not very comfy. But hey, in a pinch, they're offering it, right? So if you do have, you know, kids or small adults, or if you're, you know, you're shuttling people around, maybe you're going to the soccer game or volleyball game or what have you.
You know, here's the thing, okay? I was doing a lot of thinking about this too. I'm just a deep thinker, Andre.
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember when I test drove the Mitsubishi Outlander. You could also get that. That's probably the smallest third row in the entire car.
Actually, Nissan Rogues used to have a third row too.
Yeah. And here's my conclusion when it comes to these third rows, right? These little tiny ass ones. I think they put them in because people buy. It's a buying decision. So you're like, hey, maybe at some point.
Maybe I could use it.
Yeah, I could bring the kids. But then once you actually have it, nobody ever uses it because it does two things. One, it's impossible to get back there. It's teeny tiny and it robs you of any space you have behind the second row once you put the third row up.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
So it's one of those things that's almost like you know, like in an emergency, you think, well, I can use this. But once you actually start to live with it, and let me, I could be wrong. Maybe there are people who have like the Outlander with that third row and they actually have stuck kids back there. But same thing with like the Palisade, right? And the Telluride, it's got this third row, but they're, and those are even bigger than this.
So here's my take on it.
Yeah, what's your take?
So remember the F-150 I used to own had a bench seat in the front.
Yeah.
So you could put technically three people in the front.
Did you ever use it?
I used it twice.
Okay.
I bought it with that bench seat. Usually you could flip down the console and just have a normal two-seat orientation, but they used the front seat for almost two or three times. To go to a 4th of July with lots of people, because you have to bring, you know, everybody you can possibly can to the fairgrounds, or launching the boat, you know, bringing people to the lake and launching the boat to the launch ramp. So in the pinch, it was quite useful. It could be a good maybe college car.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of college kids are jumping in there and you're going to the football game or the basketball game. Or
especially if you're drunk.
No, I do not recommend or condone.
Eager to be in the backseat.
I'm just saying, I used to be in college one time. And I used, you know what?
You could tailgate. Yeah.
You know what I used to have in college?
You have to have those little tiny wieners. That's about the only thing that would fit in there.
Tiny wieners?
Yes, you know those little baby wieners that they serve as an appetizer.
Yes.
You could not have like a Ditka dog, like a full-on hot dog, because it wouldn't fit with the third row of seats up. Here's the problem, dude. All right, you show up to the soccer game with your third row 4Runner, right?
Yes.
And like, what's
there's no gear. Where did you put gear?
And Nathan shows up with the Sienna. Which one are people going to get into?
Oh, gosh. Of course, the Sienna. Of course, it's more comfortable. It's got more space.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But do you? But the minivan comes with a whole different baggage with it.
Yes, for sure. You're not taking it off road. At least Nathan might, but the rest of us won't. All right. So tiny back row, but with the seats down, it's pretty usable, right? It's got a good amount of space back there.
Yeah, but I'm actually really, really glad, Roman, that we're purchasing a non-hybrid one. It has a way more space in the back. For example, right here, you could see one shot of the rear cargo area. So without the battery in the back section, it's much deeper. You can put a lot more things in there. I'm really happy. And efficiency, yes, in the city, you may lose 1 or 2 mpg, but I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So I really think that the non-hybrid 4Runner, at least for me, for our purposes, I think is a much better choice.
All right, we're moving our way down through kind of the things I think people are interested in, but let's talk about the one that really is interesting, and that is how much does it cost? You know, let's go back to the configurator, and you just did this video where you kind of compared the least expensive to the most expensive, and let's take out the Trail Hunter and the TRD Pro because, you know, those are ones that
First of all, they're not on sale yet.
Yeah, and they're also for, like, you know, enthusiasts. But let's talk about, like, just the general meat of it. I think the SR5 is going to be the one that's the most popular. So what does it start at? What's the base SR5 at? How much? If you just want a plain Jane 4Runner, I've got the old generation.
And it comes as a two-wheel drive, by the way.
Ooh,
can you believe it? Two-wheel drive starts at $40,770 before destination charges.
How much more is that than the outgoing gen, do you know?
Ooh.
Do we know how much the old one was?
That's a good question.
Good question, yeah.
I think it's a little bit more, but the SR5 is the base grade. If you looked at the Tacomas, they also have the SR work trucks. There is no SR 4Runner, so that doesn't exist. So that's another price jump. If you're buying a Tacoma SR, that's around $32,000. So you're actually jumping almost $10,000 to get into the 4Runner, which is kind of a big step. But of course, you're getting a lot more, you know, cargo capability in this kind of wagon body of the 4Runner.
Is it shorter than the? It's shorter.
So it's more maneuverable.
Yeah, easier to park.
Easy to garage. Yeah. It'll fit in basically every garage out there.
So you see in that ad, it says up to 7. That's what I mean, right?
Up to 7.
Yeah. So it's more of a marketing thing than like a real use life case thing.
And do you think they'll sell many two wheel drive ones?
Yeah, maybe in Florida. I mean, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Or in the South? I mean, we live in this weird microcosm where, you know, in Colorado,
every vehicle is four-wheel drive.
Yeah, because you need it. But I'm sure if you're in Southern California, why would you pay for four-wheel, unless you're going off-road, but if you're just using it as a family truckster, you don't really need the four-wheel drive. It's very capable. But does it have a limited slip on the rear if it's a two-wheel drive? Do we know?
I don't know this. I only saw one of them at the event, and we didn't off-road it, obviously.
And here's
they wouldn't let us.
Here's the other thing that's also happening. Four-wheel drive has become kind of a mark of luxury. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of low rent now to just drive around the two-wheel drive one, right? Because people want the four-wheel drive capability.
Not just because weather, just performance in general.
Let's say you're in SoCal and you want to go skiing right up to Tahoe or Mammoth or something, or you're in Florida and there's a hurricane coming. That's all of a sudden when you want that four-wheel drive. So I kind of feeling that they're not going to sell a lot of two-wheel drives. Plus, I think they probably make more money on the four-wheel drive.
Exactly. And the four-wheel drive system is not actually very expensive. If I remember correctly, it's around $3,000.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're paying $7,000 or something like that to get into a four-wheel drive.
You know what it's like? Once upon a time when I was a kid, I'm still dating myself. I'm so depressed. Most pickups.
There it is, $2,000 for four-wheel drive.
Yeah, that's not bad. Most pickups, or many, were two-wheel drive.
Yes.
Good luck, especially here, finding a two-wheel drive pickup.
It's right? Almost impossible. It's, maybe a work truck.
Yeah, and I think that's not just Colorado. I think that's everywhere. Most pickups have now turned into 4x4, and I kind of feel like the 4Runner is following that same trend.
Well, the name is 4Runner. It's not two-runner.
Yeah,
the name has a 4 in the name.
If it doesn't have a limited slip, then it'd be 1Runner.
On purpose. That's on purpose. So the next stop is TRD Sport.
And when Hennessy gets hold of it, it'll be a 6Runner.
6x6.
All right, next one is the TRD Sport.
TRD Sport.
Now you're going up 7,000.
You are. Yeah. So you're starting basically at 47,000 plus destination. Destination is around $1,400.
And it says it only seats five, so you can't get that with a third row.
Nope, this one you can't. Mm. But I really like the look of this one. So you have a lot of body collar components. So the fender flares are body collar. A lot of the grille front end is also body collar. Also very attractive wheels. Do you like these wheels? So they're 20-inch diameter wheels with little silver accents on them. I think it's a very good-looking vehicle. And also tuned a little bit more for the street. So the suspension is tuned. So it's I'm not going to say it's a sports car, but it's tuned a little bit more for street use.
So this comes as both a rear-wheel drive and a part-time. This is part-time.
Yeah, once again, like your third generation
you
talked about, still part-time. So you have to select it.
And this is maybe, here's a sidebar, a TFL sidebar. The biggest difference besides cost, I'm going to try to do this really fast, okay? The biggest difference besides cost between the 4Runner and the Land Cruiser is that you get full-time four-wheel drive in the Land Cruiser, but only part-time four-wheel drive in the 4Runner.
Hot take.
Yeah, that was like one of those drug prescription things.
Yes, but you know what else? We'll get to the Limited.
Yeah.
The Limited 4Runner has full-time four-wheel drive.
Wow.
So 4Runner is a huge... There's a lot of breadth of different versions.
But that's a city slicker truck.
Yes.
Which is weird. Why wouldn't you put the all-time four-wheel drive?
Because it's looked like as a luxury item.
Oh.
It's a luxury item.
I'm raising my hand. Oh.
What?
Oh. And then if people are wondering what the difference between four-wheel drive and all-wheel drive is,
yes.
Usually the definition is it has a low range, but Land Cruiser has a low range.
And... The 4Runner full-time system, yes, also has low range.
So that definition is no longer valid.
So maybe. Full-time four-wheel drive. And you know our friend Jason Fenske from Engineering Explained?
Yeah, love Jason.
Has a very, very detailed and very, very really cool video explaining the difference between Toyota part-time and full-time systems. And it's basically the full-time system is a little bit more complex. I mean, there's a lot more gearing going on there. But it can, it's basically, you always drive it in four-wheel drive, and it will always help you out.
Do you think people confuse the two Jasons?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that. Is that, I don't know, Jasons, let us know. Are you confused with each other?
Well, Jason Fenske is known as Engineering Explained, mostly.
They did a video together where they test drove the Porsche 911.
Oh, they drag raced it,
911,
right?
They did that too, but no, Jason Fenske did that. But they compared the new they did like two Jasons on the 911 ST.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
All right. Well, back to 4Runner. This isn't Porsche talk.
Back to 4Runner.
We'll leave Spike to do that. All right. So we're at 47,000 now. If we go to the one that I'm interested in, which is the
one we're buying.
Well, yes.
The kind
TRD
of. Off-road. Yes.
What's the difference besides $2,000?
So this one starts at 49,190. They're both TRD labeled.
Yes.
Right. So TRD doesn't mean off-road. It means Toyota Racing Development, TRD. So it can be a little bit street-worthy in the TRD Sport, or it could be a little bit more off-road worthy. Then the off-road model has multi-terrain select. It has crawl control. It has different wheel and tire package. It's got 33-inch all-terrain tires. So it has a lot of specific off-road goodies. And special Bilstein shocks too.
Okay.
So it has special suspension, special shocks, and it will still tow 6,000 pounds. By the way, it's 1,000 pounds more than the previous gen. The previous gen only was rated for 5,000. Now we're at 6,000 pounds.
Does it have a rear locker? Ooh, I stumped you. That was a stump.
The only one I tested at this event was the premium one, and that of course did have a rear locker.
Yeah.
I think it does.
Yeah. So, Bill, I want to see now the difference between going from the TRD...
Regular to the premium.
Yeah. What's the difference between the regular to the premium?
So, let's build the regular first. So, we're here. The one where I would like to see is Ice Cap. So, if you could...
Ooh, nice. Okay.
So that's kind of what it looks like.
So, we do have black...
But do you see this chin? Do you see the chin on the bottom of this?
I don't like the chin, Andre. That chin.
So the chin is also on the TRD off-road, and it is removable.
Yes.
It has several.
So is it like the Tacoma where there's like six bolts?
Yeah, it's
Are those our wheels?
Yes.
So they're like almost like beadlock capable.
But they're not beadlock.
They're not.
They're painted as if they were beadlock capable.
I think we're going to have to remove that chin.
I think so too. I mean, it could save a micro MPG. I don't know, maybe a portion of an MPG, a fraction, but it's. I think we have to remove it.
If we don't remove it, Hell's Revenge will remove it.
Or even any trail here in Colorado will probably remove
it. Yes, we could do it. We could do it proactively or we could do it passively.
Can you show the interior shot really quick, Cole? So this is basically the, if you're watching us once again, and yes, it does have a rear locking differential.
Wait. Is that the little tiny volume knob?
Yes.
I thought we had a big volume knob.
This is not the premium one.
Oh, we're not on the premium. Yes. Cole, for God's sakes.
It's okay. Just relax.
I'm getting all hyped up here and stressed out for nothing.
Relax.
All right.
We're looking at the base TRD Off-Road.
Ah.
The 49,001.
Okay.
So it has a rear locking differential. It has, of course, two high, four low part-time transfer case, which means if you're on mixed surfaces like wet or icy or snowy, you will have to select it in the four-wheel drive yourself.
This won't do it for you. This is a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah,
because remember we had the Tacoma and
we were towing a trailer coming into Colorado.
We bought the Tacoma, we towed up here in the winter, about this time last year, right? Maybe a little bit later.
It was like February, yes.
Yeah, it was very similar. And it started to snow. We had a big snowstorm. And then the problem wasn't when it was snowing because we just put it in four-wheel drive. That was fine. It was when the snow started to melt because then you get these sections that are wet and then you get sections that are dry. And when you go from wet to dry in four-wheel drive, because it's not all time four-wheel drive, it starts to crab. And that's very disconcerting.
Yeah, because, so it is a system that you need to kind of know how to use. Let's look at Off-Road Premium. This is what we care the most about. It starts at $54,970. And this is basically, I believe, how much we'll be paying. It's going to be a little bit higher than that because we have a couple of options.
We got 3 years of Sirius.
Wow. That's a lot of Sirius.
Yeah, then we keep our cars for like less than a year. Somebody's going to get 2 years of Sirius for free when they buy our truck.
So if you click build, Cole, if we could build this guy, once again, in ice cap, white color. And if you look at the interior shot really quick, you will see the different interior. So now, Roman, do you see this?
I'm glad we got the premium. Just because of that volume knob. I hate that little tiny-ass volume knob.
So you have the bigger volume knob. You have a climate control system. Automatic. You have heated seats. You have heated steering wheel, which we're missing on the older Tacoma that we had.
You have vented seats?
I don't think so. I don't think on this model.
They look like they're leather.
You have leather. Yeah, you have a 360-degree camera views. You have a rear locking differential still.
I see.
You have a little bit more premium interior.
We have wireless charging, which is nice.
Yes.
Why is it called Qi Wireless Charging?
I think that's the company, that's the brand.
Does anybody know that?
I think that's the brand of the company that does it. And once again, in the back, do you see the amount of space? The floor is very low. It goes all the way underneath the rear seats. So we have lots of volume. You can put a lot of stuff down there.
And is there a full-size spare?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
It's underneath.
Yeah. God intended it to be, Andre, when God intended it to be.
For trucks. For truck SUVs. Yes. So...
Cole, can you go back to the outside shot? I'm just a sucker for Heritage Blue. Can you make it blue?
Do you want to wrap it?
Oh, that's so much nicer. How about Sonic Red? Make it Sonic Red. Let's see what that looks like.
Roman wants to wrap it.
I had that's also much better. I had like very little choice in terms of colors. So basically like those first four colors was the choice we had if we wanted to get it early. So
Why is that?
Cutting edge, underground, or black. Those were our choices.
We had this debate at the event, too. At dinner, we were talking with some...
I can take a guess. Go ahead.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the manufacturer, in this case Toyota, goes to the dealership network, and they say, what are people asking for? And the dealer says, they're asking for white, gray, and black.
That's what the dealer's asking for, not people. That's what the dealer's asking for.
Okay, so the manufacturer says, okay, so we'll build more white, gray, and black. So then if you look at the dealership lot, when you get there as a customer, you see white, gray, and black. So you almost have no choice.
Yeah, and it's horrible because, look, the dealer doesn't want anything that can potentially...
slow down a sale.
Yeah, I'll use offend or somehow this qualify a potential buyer from buying it, right? So, you know, they're thinking to themselves, somebody walks in here and then they see like that Heritage Blue and they're like, I don't like
I'm not
that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
If so, my wife will like it or if my husband will like it.
It's too out there, or the Sonic, Supersonic Red, which is actually a cool color. And then you end up basically with a lot full of white, gray
vehicles,
black vehicles. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it just makes our color palette so freaking boring.
Remember when I was trading in my Chevy Colorado?
Yeah.
In my nitro yellow color?
Yeah.
The dealer, we were negotiating. I was like, you know, can you give me a little bit more money? I mean, this is the market value of my truck. And he straight up told me, it's yellow, Andre. I can sell it.
Which is the least favorite color. It's the most poppy color for videos, but it's the least favorite color for
people. I mainly chose it because we do videos, in, you know, and even my private vehicle I used to own, I wanted it to stand out a little bit. I didn't want to be in the sea of gray, of grayness, basically.
Oh, well, we are at Ice Cap, Andre.
Ice Cap. But it has a shine to it. It's not like a very, it's not like a work color, like a work truck color.
No, there's a pearlescent one, too. Maybe you were in the pearlescent one. They do a pearlescent white.
Well, can we switch over back to Trail Hunter?
Go back to one of the lower. Go back to like the base one, and there's a different white. Maybe you were in that.
Okay.
You'll see. So go over that one, and let's see. Yeah, that one. Do the TRD Sport. Let's see what color that is. So let's see what the color is called. The white color. Okay.
The white color may have a different name. Windchill.
Pearl.
Ah.
So maybe you were behind. Maybe you were driving. That's pearlescent.
Okay, so it has a little bit more shine.
Yeah, so we got the refrigerator white.
Come on, Cole, can you go back to the Trail Hunter really quick? Because that's the one you saw off-road.
All right.
And that's the one you said you liked.
Yeah, let's see if it's pearlescent, white, or if it's Ice Cap.
Refrigerator white, really?
Well, let's find out. We'll find out in a second here.
That's fine.
So let's go to that one. And let's see what the white is. And we're waiting, and the answer, Ice Cap. Okay, yes. So it was. Okay, so that's good.
But news. You saw it in the real world. Yeah. It's actually not that bad.
Okay, good. All right, I like the name.
Ice Cap is cool.
I love those wheels, by the way. Those are really cool.
You know, we could swap them. We could go to the dealer and buy Trail Hunter wheels.
And look, no chinny chin chin.
Yeah, the chin is removed on the Trail Hunter and the TRD Pro. So now.
And you get an LED light bar.
You know why I love the 4Runner also?
Why?
It's like a pickup truck. It has so many different trim levels. It's so much choice. So beyond the TRD off-road, there's also the Limited. So if we can touch on that really quick. Limited and also Platinum. So these are the more luxurious trims of the 4Runner. They have different wheel options. They have larger wheels, like 20 inches. For example, the Limited starts at $55,400. Before destination charges. And this has full-time four-wheel drive system, very similar to the Land Cruiser. So just set it, get in and drive and forget it. It has adaptive variable suspension and panoramic view monitors, which is basically 360-degree cameras.
And it's $2,000 less than the one we're getting. And they have four, because you said it's 55, right?
Well, that's before destination.
Well, ours is 57 with destination.
It's about the same price. And then there's also the Platinum. The Platinum is like a Limited with blacked-out trim.
Here's an idea for product planners. For 57, why don't you put the full-time four-wheel drive into the TRD
Off-Road
Premium?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be cool?
But wouldn't it step on top of the Land Cruiser?
Which starts at 55.
It would step on top.
It would step on top. You're very, very observant, Andre. It would definitely step on top.
But is Toyota painting themselves into a corner by offering so many different slices of vehicles?
Well, let's talk about that. So you've basically, in the off-roaders, I'm gonna put aside the RAV4 Adventure right now because that's more of an appearance package, let's face it. But in the true off-roaders, stuff that has a low range locking disc, it starts at 4Runner, then at 55 or so, you get into the 1950 edition of the Land Cruiser.
Yes.
And that goes all the way up to 75 for the first edition, which we have in the office. So thank you, Toyota, for lending that us. And then above that, you have to go over and next door.
GX at Lexus?
You have to go to Lexus. And then you just came back from driving the new LX, which I would argue is the new Land Cruiser in what used to be the Land Cruiser, right?
And because the LX starts at $100,000.
But it's triple locked. It's triple locked, dude. Triple locked.
Triple locked.
Like the old, like remember the 80s? Everybody wanted
not,
the
80s. Not fake lockers.
No.
Selectable lockers.
Triple locked, yeah.
Yes.
So now you're, obviously at that point, you're competing with like G-Wagon, not in terms of price.
Range Rovers.
Yeah.
You're competing against, you know, premium, high-end off-roaders.
So TFL top tip, if you guys want an old Land Cruiser, go with the LX, because I think in the rest of the world, the LX is a Land Cruiser.
300
or one,
series.
Or one of the Land Cruisers. Yeah, yes. The 300 series.
There's a 300 series in the rest of the world that we don't get here, and it's basically the LX as a premium version of that. LX, we have another podcast about the LX. Yep. It's very, very overbuilt. Yep. I would say it's overbuilt.
So let's save that for that podcast. Yes. So if you're interested in the LX, head on over to Talking Trucks.
Yep.
Not Car Chat.
Same channel, except different podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can learn all about that. So in the few minutes that we have left, let's talk about the competition. Because you've driven a Wrangler, you've driven a Bronco. How does this compete against those two vehicles? No convertible, obviously, but in all other respects. So talk to me.
Yeah, I think the specific, let's talk about the TRD Pro.
Okay.
The TRD Pro 4Runner is meant for like a little bit faster off-roading. I mean, that's what Toyota
desert
says.
Desert running.
So it's kind of, I'm not going to say it competes against the Bronco Raptor, but it has a similar kind of aspiration. The Bronco Raptor is way more expensive. It starts at, what, $90,000 and it's got 37s. But the Bronco and the 4Runner have similar underpinnings. Solid rear axle, independent front end, right? So they feel a little bit similar to me, even though the Bronco Raptor is a little bit more extreme. The TRD Pro, we actually jumped them at the event. They set up a little jump. It was kind of a slow jump. It looked really impressive, but it was only going at about...
You got the jump right there. Oh, you're about to jump.
That's one of the Toyota guys.
Yeah, and you're about to jump it. Were you jumping the TRD Pro? Is that the one they had you jump?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And there was a very set speed limit that you had to go over it?
32 miles an hour.
Yeah. What happens if you went 42? Bad things probably happen.
You start to nosedive.
Yeah, lawn dart it.
You start to lawn dart it because it depends on the angle of the jump, right? Yeah. You can have a gentle angle. You can have a steep angle. It's physics. You know, at some point, physics is against you.
So basically, let's just talk apples to apples. A TRD Pro would compete with like a Sasquatch.
Kind of a Sasquatch.
Version of the Bronco, yeah.
Exactly. Although the Sasquatch is a little bit more crawly.
And it's cheaper.
Is it cheaper?
It probably is cheaper, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it is quite a bit
cheaper.
We had
that first edition and we paid $62,000 for it. That was a long time ago. So yeah, that was before COVID.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Now, actually, Cole, we might be able to go to a Ford website really quick and actually look at the Sasquatch Bronco. But here's the thing about the Bronco. Removable top, removable doors.
Locking front, middle, and rear.
Yes.
So triple locked.
Bigger you can wheels get those. And tires. Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't seem like Toyota will ever...
directly compete with a Bronco.
We're not talking about the Bronco Sport, though. We want to see the big Bronco. I don't know. Do you think Toyota will ever do removable doors?
They did it originally, but I think that...
removable top?
No, I don't think so. I think they sell the 4Runner more... so look, I think the 4Runner is more of a utilitarian family, you know, vehicle that can be turned into a very good and has been turned into a very good off-roader, whereas the Bronco and the Wrangler tend to be more off-road... aspirational, if you know what I'm saying. Like if you think about I'm gonna go off road, you're probably gonna think of a Bronco and a Wrangler more than you are of a 4Runner. That's the way at least I look at it. To me, the 4Runner, I mean, they all live on road, but the more natural place that most 4Runners like the SR5 are gonna live are on road.
But I think what you're giving up in the Bronco or the Wrangler is maybe some noise. You know, the top may not be fitting correctly, or if you have a soft top, the soft top is buffeting. So maybe there's a little bit more wind noise in a Bronco.
Cole, can you find a configurator for a Bronco? I'm just curious to see how much that Sasquatch cost.
Yeah, and also the Bronco and the Wrangler have two-door options.
Yeah.
Short wheelbases, and the 4Runner does not.
Look, the 4Runner has always had a better reputation for reliability, right? That, all right, the Bronco and the Wrangler have always been more toys. Not that people use them as such, right? They don't, but that's always been kind of the fun quotient is higher on those vehicles, whereas the livability quotient on the 4Runner is higher. And I think Toyota wants it that way.
Right, on purpose.
I think the FJ was their attempt at competing with the Bronco and Wrangler.
Even though you couldn't really remove the top on the FJ Cruiser or the doors.
Yeah, let's see how much.
So I think you could don't do the Heritage.
Yeah, do the Badlands. I don't see a Sasquatch. Oh, you have to put it on. So do the
four door. Select four door.
Select four door. Yeah.
Badlands, yep.
And then add Sasquatch on top of that and see how much that's going to cost.
It has two engine options, too.
Yeah, a lot more engine options.
Badlands.
There it is, Sasquatch.
Right Sasquatch, there. $5,000.
$5,000. And that's a soft top.
And it's a soft top still.
So you got to put a hard top on it, too.
That's going to cost a little bit, too. So right now we are at 59,000, Roman.
With the soft top.
With the soft top. So this is a four-door, full Bronco.
And it's a four-cylinder, I think. So it's got the same engine, at least the same number of cylinders
as the 4Runner
is. Yeah, do painted hardtop, or just do hardtop color painted. Why not?
Which is about $2,700. So now we're at 62, and the TRD Pro starts at 67.
Yeah, so, I mean, they all...
They're approaching...
They benchmark each other.
But of course, the TRD Pro is more expensive.
Yeah, and then if we're talking Wrangler, then you know the TRD Pro would compete with the Rubicon, right? The Ruby. But once again, triple locked,
convertible, and solid front axle,
which yes. Of course Toyota doesn't have.
Right.
So, solid
front axle. I mean, there's two schools of thought, right? It's a little bit better articulating in some instances. So. Off-roading it, or you could lift it easier, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've come a long way in making. Independent suspension, very good off-road.
Right.
But the hardcore guys, especially hardcore Wrangler guys and gals, will always tell you that the solid axle
is the way to go.
It keeps one wheel, at least one wheel on the ground all the time.
But you may compromise on-road, you know, comfort or stability.
Or steering.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, what we really need to do is we really need to go get all three of these and take them off-road.
So, and the other thing is, I want to say, so... All the 4Runners are built in Japan.
Yeah.
All the Tacomas are built in Mexico. So obviously there's shipping issue. Like you said, ours is waiting at the port, right? And where am I going with this?
I don't know. I'm gonna hijack your thread there.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say another difference is that it's easier to lift a Bronco and certainly a Wrangler, not just because they're solid axles, just because, like I said. They're basically built to be lifted. The 4Runner, you could put...
Well, you already saw a lifted 4Runner. People on the 4Runner forum already lifted them.
You
got
to start cutting stuff. You don't have to start cutting anything, right? Well, you want to put on 35s on that 4Runner, you're going to have to start cutting.
I don't know. We'll have to look into it.
You could easily put 35s on a Wrangler or a Bronco.
Well, actually, they come with 35s,
from
the factory.
Yeah.
Some of those trim levels on the Bronco and the Wrangler.
So if it were my money, dude, and we've owned the Bronco Sasquatch, we've owned a Wrangler. If I wanted to have a vehicle that has more of a bandwidth, right? And I'm going to be realistic about how I'm going to use it, which is most of its life is going to be spent on road, not off road. Then I'd probably go with the 4Runner just because it's a little bit more livable in a lot of ways. And you said it, Andre, I love the convertible, but it's loud.
Oh, I know where I was going.
Where are we going?
So when the Tacoma came to market, there was a period of like 6 months where they were losing sales.
Yeah.
Because the changeover was happening. They were trying to ramp up their new productions. And it worried, you know, we watch sales numbers pretty closely. I think it worried a lot of people. They're like, oh my gosh, is Tacoma going to lose its stronghold as the best-selling midsize pickup? And all of a sudden it rebounded. Last quarter of 2024, they sold like crazy amount of Tacomas.
So word went out, go buy a taco.
They're back.
They're back. We're back.
So
baby.
What's going to happen with the 4Runner? They've been very successful, but it's also built overseas. So there's going to be a switchover. You know, they have to ship all of them in and, you know, bring them in.
The one thing I would...
Are they going to be successful? That's what I'm wondering.
Look, here's the dichotomy. You want something more fun? You want something more wind in your hair? You want something more off-road? You get yourself a Bronco or a Wrangler. You want something more useful, something more utilitarian, get yourself a 4Runner. But the downside of that is, in some ways, a 4Runner, because it's been around for so long, especially the last generation, it's a little bit more boring. Like I said, you know what I mean? It's like, let's go back to that kind of, it's not the new hotness. It's kind of the old friendliness. So you have to decide whether you want the new hotness or the old friendliness. And maybe with like a 4Runner TRD Pro and a Trail Hunter, you're going to get the new hotness. Right, that Trail Hunter has never existed before.
Right, and it's got a unique look to it.
And you got that wall. Yeah. You got that walrus.
Walrus breathing.
Oh, sorry, not snorkel.
Desert. Raised air intake.
It's no longer desert air intake. It's just raised now.
It could be desert, okay. But it's also raised.
Well, guys, let us know in the comments below what you think. I am on pins and needles, waiting to get ours. I've been dying to jump in the truck and drag the Defender to L.A. and pick up our 4Runner and drag it back here and title it. But for some reason, Port of LA is taking a long time. And every day I wake up and more people have gotten theirs. And I get more and more bummed out because being first, especially in this business, is kind of important.
Very important.
So congratulations to all of you who have gotten theirs. And
by the way, a base Defender might compete with a 4Runner too, wouldn't it?
More Land Cruiser-ish.
More expensive.
Yeah, maybe. And especially when you get up to like the bigger... numbers, if it's more GX.
Big V8 Defenders.
Yeah, competitor. You know, you drove it. Let me ask you, we walked away thinking, I want this, I don't want this. They did a great job. They needed to do a better job. What's your overall, takeaway from the new 4Runner?
At first, I was thinking, before I actually drove it, before I actually got to San Diego, I was thinking, okay, it's just a wagon on top of a Tacoma.
Yeah.
So I wasn't super excited.
Because we've had the taco.
I thought it was a wagon taco.
Yeah.
But then...
is that like a food truck? Wagon taco?
Taco wagon. But it actually was a little bit more livable. You know, Tacoma is a little bit bouncy. It has a truckiness to it. The 4Runner felt more refined.
Okay,
that's good. As if it was more car-like. It still rides in the frame. It still has a solid rear axle. But it felt a little bit more livable, more car-like. It's a little bit shorter wheelbase. It's more maneuverable than the Tacoma. So I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and the big difference, of course, I think, is that back seat, right? The back seat in the Tacoma is tight.
Tight. And the 4Runner, it's also not huge, but it's better than the Tacoma. So I was actually getting more and more excited the more I drove it. I drove the hybrid first. I felt like, I mean... If people say that the hybrid system in these vehicles is underpowered, I mean...
That's what some of the reviewers have said.
Reviewers have said.
And not underpowered, but during passing situations, it runs out of steam because... I mean, once again, how much horsepower?
Maybe we're jaded by electricity. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe a lot of reviewers are used to performance Model 3s. That pass, you know, instantaneously.
I was over the moon when I bought my 300 ZX twin turbo Nissan because it had 300 horsepower. And now 300 horsepower seems like the entry to any car. Maybe I'm not jaded, but I can't imagine that 300-ish horsepower is going to seem slow, especially passing at 65. That's still a lot because, right, that horsepower is about... top end speed. So that's when the horsepower number comes into play. When you're cruising from Moab back to Colorado, you know, 80 mile an hour speed limit, nobody's around. And, you know, that's when it comes into play. And when we did a lot of towing with that Tacoma, I never felt like it was underpowered. And that's towing.
Yeah, acceleration will feel slower.
Yes.
I mean, no matter what with a trailer, right? So we'll tow with the Tacoma, I mean, with the 4Runner as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, I recently drove our Defender, which is the base. It's a 90, but it's got a 2-liter, dude, 2-liter turbo. And I drove it from Moab down to Phoenix, which is kind of through no man land, but it's pretty desolate, right? Once you get south of Moab, there is just a lot of beautiful nature, but not a lot of people living there. Some Indian reservations, of course. And I never felt like I was in need of more power. So we'll see. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we'll see. We'll figure that. We'll title it and we'll take it to Moab right quick and figure out just how much truth is in the fact that this doesn't have enough power at highway speeds.
All right. Well, I've got a frog in my throat, so I'm going to stop talking.
All right. Guys, thank you for watching. As always, if you want to learn about the what's the one you just did? LX.
LX.
Sorry, LX. Too many L's in the... I was going to say LC. Did you drive the LC too? No, you didn't drive.
There was one at the hotel.
There was an LC, yeah.
But that didn't get...
James, that's for you. Anyway, if you're... he loves LCs. He owns one. If you're interested in the LX, head on over to alltfl.com. And as always, this is Roman.
And Andre.
Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Ciao.
Thank you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.